to the amount that is enough to keep a person alive. In other words, Allah Pak, let my family just suffice, let them come out. Let it be just enough for them. And ulama explained this great, great, great hikmat in this. Because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he had akhirat in front, he had dunya in front, and he knew the harms of a person having too much in this world. The more a person has, the more he needs to know, or he needs to think, how I should spend this money. And the more lavish he spends the money, and the more he thinks, now I need more entertainment, and that entertainment doesn't stop. Like that a person will spend in many other avenues, and many avenues might be wrong. So therefore this dua of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that oh Allah, make the livelihood of the family of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just sufficient, is a very great hikmat, is very great wisdom in this particular dua. And also it impresses upon us, if Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made this for his own family, this is something that we should also be happy with. Then don't always be chasing. How much Allah Pak has given a person should be comfortable, he should be content, and he should carry on. But this desire of continuously chasing shouldn't be there. One is a person that has, and Allah Pak gives him, and he spends it, and he uses it in the right direction, in the right causes. Very good. A lot of ni'mat, a lot of benefit. But what these ahadith is teaching us, you don't have the desire to continuously accumulate. If it was something that was good, really good, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have made the dua for his own family. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give them a lot. Give them a lot, because it's so good. So the desire shouldn't be there. And the fikr of akhirat should be there. The more I have, the more I will have to account for on the day of qiyamah. Today's hadith, and Muhammad ibn Sirin, rahmatullah alayhi. Muhammad ibn Sirin, rahmatullah alayhi, was born in 33 Hijra. And he passed away about 110 Hijra. He was a famous scholar for tafsir and for interpretation of dreams, etc. He studied under Hassan Basri, rahmatullah alayhi. He studied under Anas bin Malik, radiallahu ta'ala, and the great scholars of Medina. And he also studied under Hazrat Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu. So these great sahaba and great scholars were his ustad. So anyway, he is relating this incident, this hadith, from his ustad, Hazrat Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu. قَالَ لَقَدْ رَأَيْتُنِي وَإِنِّي لَأَخِرُّ فِي مَا بَيْنَ مِنْبَرِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِلَى حُجْرِهِ إِلَى حُجْرَةِ عَائِشَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْهَا مَغْشِيًّا عَلَيَّ. He said that I remember a time when I would collapse. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, I would collapse between the member of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the house of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And I would collapse because فَيَجِيهُ الْجَائِيُ. He said, he explains later on why he collapsed, but the reason why he collapsed was due to hunger. Completely knocked out. That area between the member of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and house of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, that area we know it as Riyazul Jannah, where the white carpets are, or the green carpets. That is the area wherein Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned, ما بين منبري وبيتي رودة من رياض الجنة. That area between my member and my house, رودة من رياض الجنة, is a piece or a garden from the gardens of Jannah. So at this point he's saying that's the spot where generally I would collapse. So he would be spending a lot of his time there, therefore he would collapse there. فَيَجِيهُ الْجَائِ فَيَضُعُ رِجْلَهُ عَلَى عُنُقِي. He said then a passerby would come by and he would place his foot upon my neck. وَيَرَىٰ أَنِّي مَجْنُونٌ, thinking that I'm mad. It was a therapy that they would use that day, at that time. If a person was taken to be insane, somebody would come and place his foot upon his neck with the hope that he'll revive him. And then his person would come back to his senses. Whatever the therapy was, Allah alam how it works, whether it stops with the flow of too much going to the brain, so it eases that flow and a person comes back to his senses, whatever the hikmat of it, but that was the system they would use. Person would place his foot upon somebody's neck. So he's saying people would think that I'm mad, أَنِّي مَجْنُونٌ وَمَا بِي مِن مَجْنُونٍ مَا بِي إِلَّا الْجُوعِ. He said it wasn't such that I was mad, except that I was extremely hungry. And out of extreme hunger, I would collapse like this. So this was the condition of Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, such a great sahabi. But then didn't stop him from being the rawi that narrated the most amount of hadith that we've got today from Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. One more short hadith. And Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha qala tuwfiya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa dir'uhu marhunatun inda yahudi fi 30 sa'an min sha'irin muttafaqun alayh. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. He in such a condition that his armor was given as a security, as a collateral, as a pledge in exchange for 30 sa' of wheat that he had taken from a Jew. So in other words, when a person buys on credit, then he needs to give something. They call it a pawn, or they call it a collateral, or they call it a pledge, security. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took his armor and he gave it as security to the Jew, so that once the study saw of once the study saw of barley is returned to you, then you give my armor back. So that is called a collateral. Now we might ask that why did Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam deal with a Jew? Because here it says specifically with a Jew. Ulama give three explanations. One is to show us, to teach us, that it is permissible to do business with non-Muslims. Otherwise we wouldn't know that it is permissible to do business with non-Muslims. So Sharia Alayhi Salatu Wasalam, Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam to teach us, bayanan lil jawaz, that it is permissible to do business with non-Muslims. So he had to teach the Ummah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he did this business with this Yahud. The next explanation ulama gave, it was perhaps that at that time Sahaba didn't have these 30 saw, these 30 measures of barley. So therefore, he went to that person that had it, and that person that had it happened to be a Jew. Therefore, he took it from him. Not that he gave preference to a Jew over a Muslim. The fact that this person had the commodity that he was looking for, so he went to him. Number two. The third explanation ulama gave is that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam also wanted to make it, he wanted to show us that a person can undertake a loan transaction. One is just to do business by buying, and the third thing is person does a loan transaction with a non-Muslim, with a Jew. That also is permissible. And then ulama explains from this that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's condition was so pitiable at the end also, that he had to borrow, in other words, he had to take on a loan. That's something that he didn't like. Taban, he didn't like going into debt. But because his condition was such that he had to borrow, and this 30 saw of barley was used for the household of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the whole year, his family would take from there. That was their stipend, that was their food. So to provide even food for his own home at the end, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam passed away when his armor was still pledged with the Jew. So here ulama explained that even to that extent that he had to borrow at the end also, this was the household condition of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq also to come onto such simplicity, such ease. And where we see people, sometimes people take it this point of doing business with the Jews or non-Muslims, people take it overboard as though it is haram. Yeah, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam showing us that it's not haram. Yes, there is one exception that comes in the kitab, is a person is selling weapons at the time of war to a non-Muslim country. Now that is disliked. Why? Because now they are non-Muslims and you're selling weapons of war to them, armor, etc. Then that is disliked. But when there is peaceful condition, a person is doing business and trade with non-Muslims, there is no harm, there is no haraj. Person shouldn't be boycotted and he shouldn't be ostracized. Yeah, this was the personal condition of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Where he did at the end also business that was needed to be done with them, he did business. Not so something that we have to make a hue and a cry about, that we should start boycotting every person that is doing business with non-Muslims. This was not the style of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah pakhi wa sallam tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhanarabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursalin. Alhamdulillah.